series is called Faith Works. The idea is faith is practical. The book of James is practical. Today we're looking at James 3 and 4. There's a hill or a street. It's not a hill, but it's a street. Close to my house, where if you had to climb it, you can see the Sydney Harbour Bridge 30 kilometres away. It's a tiny little coat hanger. That's what it looks like. But it's 30 kilometres away. Now, if you're there on New Year's Eve during the fireworks, you might even see a little flicker of light far, far away. Last Sunday, my son Linus and I, we went into the city to Circular Quay to be precise, and we were there to watch the fireworks, during the fireworks, at 9 p.m. And I tell you, what a difference it makes to be near. Wow, amazing, huge, the fireworks. To be near to the fireworks. Life with God is like that. You could be far from God, you could be near to God. Whichever one you are, it's going to affect what you believe and how you live. And so let's start with life far from God. What drives that life? Motivates that life. Let me tell you, it comes from the wisdom within. The wisdom within. You might think there is a God because, you know, look around the world, there's a flickering of evidence that there is a God, but you are far from God. What is the source? What is the origin of that? The wisdom that comes from within. So the plan today is to define the wisdom within and then look at the opposite, the wisdom that comes from above, to compare the two, and then we'll sum it all up. Okay, let's begin with the wisdom within. The wisdom within revolves around the self. It's about discovering yourself. There's lots of quotes on the internet. It's called finding yourself quotes. Look it up, there's a million. It's all about self. It's about determining your self-worth. And so a person, Beyonce, where is she? Oh. She puts, I'm not judging her, but she, not at all, but I'm just saying she puts it really well. She says, your self-worth is determined by you. You don't need someone to tell you who you are. And so the logic behind that, it comes from within. And so the wisdom within is not caring what anyone thinks. It's about forging your own pathway forward. That's the wisdom within. It's about what feels good, you might have heard this, what feels good, do it. You know, it's the key to salvation. The self, what comes from within, the key to successful living. In fact, it has its own genre in the book industry. It's called self-help. You might have heard of it. It's from the wisdom within. I was also listening to a song on the radio the other day, and when something like this, when you feel like hope is gone, look inside you and be strong, search within, and you'll finally see the truth that a hero lies within. Now, in Christianity, the hero is at the right hand of God. That's Jesus. He is the hero. But worldly wisdom, the hero is found within the self. Now, of course, when I'm talking about wisdom within, I'm not talking about the ability to think. Okay, every day we make decisions. Every day we solve problems. This room is full of people who are thinkers, who are solving problems every day at work, at school, at home, every day. So we're not talking about that. We're talking about the origin of your purpose and meaning. You know, the source, not S-A-U-C, the other source, yeah? Though it could be the other one too. But anyway, the source of your purpose and meaning, what is it? If it is the wisdom within, then it comes from something called existentialism. That's a big word, isn't it? Huge word. Basically, it means this. Existentialism is the belief that we are responsible for creating purpose or meaning in our lives. Our individual purpose and meaning is not given to us by God or gods, as the quote says, or governments, or teachers, or other authorities. It comes from within. It's grounded in another big kind of word, humanism. Humanism attaches prime importance, the main importance is to human beings rather than to God or the supernatural. So the wisdom is found within humans. Okay, that's kind of like the philosophical base. So, wisdom within. Now, James puts it like this. James says that such wisdom is earthly. So the idea is eyes on yourself, your rationale. That's the primary source of purpose and meaning. He also says it's unspiritual. So by that, there tends to be a focus on physical or the material or stuff you can, you know, touch. So atheism is like that. The rejection of the supernatural, the rejection of the spiritual and the focus on the physical only. So unspiritual. He also says it's demonic in verse 15. Now by demonic, we usually think of like a guy with a red, angry face with horns and flames shooting out from the top of his head. And yes, but not so much here. Demonic is far from God. So the goal of the demon is whatever it takes, whether he might even give you a good life, but whatever it takes, the goal is to keep you far from God. Whatever it takes. And so by good life we mean, you know, living a life full of wisdom within the self that keeps you far from God. Whatever it takes. So the wisdom within promises peace on earth. But it starts from within. But we know there's a problem with that. Because if everyone is basing their life on the wisdom within, what happens when the two wisdoms clash? And so it's peace on earth on my terms, and someone, no, peace on my terms. And you see around the world all the time. So there's conflict around the world. So, for example, Israel-Palestine. You know, Israel, they're all for peace, but it's on their terms. Palestine, they're all for peace, but it's on their terms. Or Ukraine, Russia. Ask Russia. They're all for peace, but it's on their terms. Ukraine, they're all for peace, but it's on their terms. So there's a problem if it's all about the within. What you can produce yourself. And right down to the individual, when you're having an argument. What if peace on your terms is on your terms and the peace is on their terms? You're never going to reconcile. It's all about within. It's a problem. Hence it can affect how you live. It can affect conflict and anger, and we see that around the world all the time, don't we? The wisdom within has the habit of assertiveness. It demands its rights. It pushes, it bullies. And if you don't agree, you're a bigot. How dare you question my wisdom within? It happens all the time. That's why society can be so aggressive. And of course, the wisdom within can learn from other wisdoms within. That happens, you know. Someone else's wisdom within matches my wisdom, so you can learn from it. But it also backfires. When the wisdom within fails, what you can have is self-loathing, self-pity, or dare I say it, even self-harm. You know, what's wrong with me? That happens all the time. You know, what's wrong with me? I search within and it happens all the time. You know what? It dominates society. And many of you feel the pressure daily. Society screams for you to solve the problems or to find purpose and meaning from within. Society screams that at you and me. It's the reality. But you know what? It's not just in society. It's found in the church. And so James, he's talking to believers. And he says this in chapter 4. You'll see it here within. He says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? So this is in the church in his time. He says, don't they come from your desires that battle within? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. This is like Hunger Games in the church. Yeah. You kill. Back in the New Testament, kill often was a reference to hate. So they're not always actually literally killing each other. Maybe sometimes they did, but they actually hated their brother. So kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. And so James continues about the wisdom within the church. He continues with words of the effect of you pray, but you pray with wrong motives. You turn it into a personal prayer wish list, so you might spend it on your passions. You're unstable, you're worldly. He said you're double-minded. You're for God, but you're very much a friend with the world. Even though in verse 5 it says the Spirit of God longs to dwell in you and for you to live according to the Spirit, just desperate to dwell in you, you're worldly. You're proud. You're having your personality clashes. You're slandering. You're harsh words against each other, between each other. You're even using the law of God to judge one another. He says that in verse 11 and 12. It's spiritual or it's fraudulent spirituality. It's a nightmare. That happens in churches around the world. It can happen. It's far from God. Far from God. And so there's two types of wisdom. There's the wisdom within. James talks about that. And he also talks about the wisdom above. The wisdom above is from heaven. So he uses the words heaven, above. Other passages might use the word above. But he uses heaven in the translation that we had read. So, but it's from heaven. And it's near to God. It's wow. It's worship God. It's near to God. It's pure. It's holy. And so it's from God, so it's holy. It's focused on others. It's about resolving the differences, making peace with others, with God at the center. That is wisdom from above. The wisdom from above is deeds done in humility. It's submission to God and his word. It's full of mercy. The beginning of James, he talks about do not discriminate in your church with rich and poor. Do not discriminate between rich and poor. Be sincere in your conduct. That's wisdom from above. Wisdom from above is a gift from God that creates purpose and meaning rather than from within, that it creates purpose and meaning, ignoring God's authority. See the difference? Let's compare the two. compare the two if the slide comes up. There we go. All right, so just to make it super clear, wisdom within puts self first. It might put others first, but it's got to benefit the self. So it puts the self first. Not so much about sacrifice, but first. Wisdom above puts God first. People are not perfect, but it aims to put God first. Wisdom within submits to no one. Wisdom above submits to God, His word, and other believers. Wisdom within takes the moral high ground. James uses the word proud. Today we might use the word, though we don't, the wisdom within doesn't use it like this, but self-righteousness. So self-righteous. So the idea behind self-righteous is, I do not need God, I am right in and of myself. Self-righteous. Now, today we use it in different ways, but that's the original meaning of it. Self-righteous. Wisdom above takes the moral low ground. I am a sinner. The wisdom within is about selfish ambition. James mentioned that. The wisdom above is about God's ambition. What does God care about the most? The wisdom within is when you have a thorn in your side, a pain in your life, what is most sufficient? Self-sufficiency. You probably heard that, self-sufficiency. In the Bible, for example, the Apostle Paul talks about the sufficiency of God's grace. God's grace is sufficient through the trials and thorns of life. You can see the difference. The wisdom within is about the hero within. The wisdom about, again, is the hero at the right hand of God, who is Jesus. He is the hero. And so Jesus, the wisdom within, just a few more, the wisdom within might think that Jesus is a good man, but might also ignore him. The wisdom above would also say he's a good man, but he's the saviour of the world. You see the difference between wisdom within and wisdom above at Christmas time. Some people think of Jesus a certain way, wisdom within, Christians, wisdom above, think of Jesus, saviour of the world. And so the cross, if you put your hope and trust in the cross of Christ to pay the penalty for your sin, the wisdom within says, well, it's not looking within, so it must be weak and foolish. But for the wisdom above that teaches you would say, no, it's the power of salvation. So you can see the idea where you're going here, wisdom within, wisdom above. Or the resurrection, often the wisdom within will tell you that it's unscientific, therefore is to be rejected, unspiritual. But the wisdom above will tell you, no, it is the power of God for the forgiveness of sins, for the victory over sin and death. If you think that, where are you getting your wisdom from? It's coming from heaven. It's coming from above. That's where you're getting it from. But again, it exists in the church. The wisdom within will lead to fights and squabbling. The wisdom above, as James said, will lead to peacemakers. Wisdom from above. Peacemakers, a harvest of righteousness, affects how you live. Pure, considerate, full of mercy, submissive. You see that idea? Wisdom above, wisdom within. The wisdom within is about style. What music we play. This can be in church, you know, the colour of the carpet, you know, how we do things. But the wisdom above, people who draw from the wisdom above, who set their minds on things above, not on earthly things, will be about the gospel. So if you're about the gospel, that's God gave you that. The wisdom within is far from God. The wisdom above is near to God. What about us? What are we called to do? We are called to obviously pursue the wisdom from above. Or in other words, in verse 8, come near to God. That's what we're called to do, to come near to God. Chapter 3 talks about the wisdom from above, wisdom from heaven. Pursue it, and you come near to God. We go, how do I come near? How do I pursue? It's not so easily answered, but it is answered. For example, in Proverbs chapter 1, it talks about fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You get that idea, you know. It's not about self, it's about God. So fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so that is belief there is a God. That's fear. Humble yourself. You know, wash your hands, grieve, wail, mourn. It's all about humbling yourself. The self is the high ground. Humble yourself. Take the low ground. Grieve, mourn, wail. That's what it means. Submit yourself. It's very hard to do. It's much easier to reject God and put yourself forward, assertiveness. Submit yourself, resist the devil by coming to God. Devil can't get close to God, so you come near to God, he's going to have to flee, he's got no choice. But trust God. And so do not trust the wisdom within, do not trust the self. Trust God, come near to God. That's how we come near to God. And what does it say? It also says after I come near to God, and he will come near to you. Now, this is not talking about, the context here is not talking about how to become a Christian. Remember, these are believers already. Okay, some in the church in James' time may not have been, but the vast majority are believers already. No, think about this. You cannot get closer to God than you are in Christ. Everyone's equally close because of Jesus. So it's not talking about how to become a Christian. It's talking about your focus, setting your mind on things above, not on earthly things. That idea, your action, come near to God by setting your mind on the things above. Come near to God and he will come near to you. You know, there's a lot of trouble in this world. Perhaps some of you heard trouble this week. In the family, in society, around the world, and I don't know about you, but I need God to be near me. There's a lot of confusion in the world. Australia, land of confusion in many ways. There's a lot of disappointment, a lot of uncertainty. I need God to be near me. There's a lot of issues in society. We need God to be near us. There's a lot of people who are lonely and isolated. A lot of people who have suffered from divorce, relationship breakdown, mental health issues, self-loathing, self-pity. The wisdom within has failed to solve the problems. I need God to be near me. There's a lot of hurt in the church. Every now and then you come across someone who talks about hurt that comes from the church. We need God to be near. We need God to show us the way forward. So do you want to be God? Do you want God to be near you? Hop on that train. Go to the city. Go to the city of God. Come near to God. Believe in him. Trust on him. Lean on him. Put your faith in him. Believe his word. What Jesus has done. He will be near. You come near to him, he will be near to you. Near to you. I think it's reassuring. A lot of you guys are young, and maybe you're not really feeling like the pressure of God needs to be near me. But trust me on this one. Later you're going to say that I need God to be near. And if you're older, what difference does it make that God is near you? What difference does it make in your life? If you are far from God, I urge you, come near to God. Don't trust the wisdom within. Again, I'm not talking about your ability to think. I'm talking about the source of purpose and meaning. Don't trust the wisdom within. That teaches that God doesn't matter. The self is primary. The self matters. No, don't trust that. God does matter. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and he is our salvation. He is our eternity. He is the one who keeps us near. Consider Jesus. Jesus suffered on a cross that we might be near if we believe in him. And so we come near to God. We go from war to peace. We come near to God. He will lift us up. We come near to God. We go from far. We go from enemies God to God is close to us. We come near to God. Let's pray.